Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a beautiful day down here on Tuesday. I hope everybody's having a fantastic day as well. Lots of stories going on today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Austin. The humidity went back through the roof today. It got to be about 90 degrees, and then it rained for like 30 seconds, and it got everything unbelievably hot and muggy outside. So, yeah, if you're up north and you've got some cool weather right now, be happy you're up north with cool weather, because we've got another hurricane brewing out there in the tropics right now about to hammer Puerto Rico. So I'm really happy for you guys are up north and away from this. I was talking yesterday about the movie Mother, and now it's being listed as one of the top movies in the last 100, one of the worst movies in the top 100 years. I mean, actually be listed as one of the worst movies. And apparently Jennifer Lawrence, the actress in this, really, really hates Christians. And it's interesting to me, Austin, because the one guy who played in what's that one movie? Gosh, I don't watch very many movies. He's the Christian actor who played in Jurassic Park. I forgot his name. The latest Jurassic Park. She starred with him in that movie about them being on a spaceship. And right after that, his marriage broke up, and he's a Christian actor. And ends up, she's an unbelievable foul-mouthed heathen, and she's actually yelling, you know, F Donald Trump, the hurricanes are, you know, because of what you did, you know, with climate accord, all this kind of stuff. And apparently she hates Christians, she hates Trump, and she's pretty much single-handedly destroying her own ability to be in a movie and have anybody ever watch her again. So, again, I will never pay for another movie that she does, and I didn't realize she was such a hateful individual. And even Breitbart said that Jennifer Lawrence's hateful mouth is destroying her career. Wow. What do you think about that?
That doesn't surprise me. I didn't know anything about her. I do now, though. But I definitely didn't. You know, you'd think playing in a movie like that, you'd expect some blowback. And obviously, I don't know what she was expecting. But if she's that dark, that heathen of an individual, that's why she didn't care to play that role. Because that was the first thing I thought about yesterday. I was like, how in the world, if she's even a moderately decent person, why would you even pick up a movie like that? Why would you even want to star in a movie like that? Because it's ultimately going to galvanize your fans as far as them wanting to go see your movies when you play in something like that. So, pretty strange. But also, too, as I talked about yesterday, you guys remember the multi-dosed, essentially 3D vaccinations that they want to inject in children and allowed it to open up over a period of time. They're essentially time-released vaccines, so they're only going to have to give the children one vaccine. Well, I did some more research on it today, and you guys are going to like this. Of course, you know, I was trying to figure out MIT was the one who's doing the research on this. Well, Langer's lab at MIT that began working on the new delivery drug particles, the project was funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, none other than them. And they were, listen to this, Dad nailed it. They're seeking a way, and this is what they're saying from MIT News, they just released this, they're seeking a way to deliver multiple doses of vaccines over a specific period of time with just one injection, like I said yesterday, here you go, that could allow babies in developing nations who might not see a doctor very often to get one injection at birth that would deliver all of the vaccines they would need during the next 2 years of life, unquote. That is directly from MIT News. So they're blatantly saying Bill and Melinda Gates funded this project, which doesn't surprise me at all, and that they're doing this because they want to issue this vaccine at birth and no longer have to give children vaccinations for the next 2 years. But again, as I told you and Dad said yesterday, I am unbelievably weary of that. Not only are vaccines incredibly dangerous, as we already know, but now you're going to be giving a newborn baby or an infant a time-release megadose of essentially 2 years' worth of vaccines. The potential risk of complications of this is far beyond my scope of even understanding, to be honest with you. And the fact that this is even becoming a topic of discussion and how much money is being put into this, they are seriously thinking about issuing these out. That scares me, Dad, but that shows you that they do not care one single bit about the health of these children. They want to give them one solid, because what they're finding out now, guys, is that I've talked to a lot of people about this. They've gotten their kids' vaccinations in 6 months or 3 months or 8 months or whatever one of the protocols is, and the kids have a massive inflammatory response. They get sick, they get the fever, they feel horrible for 3, 4, 5 days, they're constantly crying, and then sometimes they come out of it, and they're okay, so they think they're okay to the best of their ability, and they go, you know what? These vaccines are horrible. I'm not doing another one of these. I'm not going to expose my child to this again, and I've heard that over and over and over again with parents that have called up. So what they're trying to do now is prevent that from even happening, issue these time-release vaccines at birth right out of the rip and sit there and say, okay, here you go, vaccine for the next 2 years. You don't have to worry about it, Dad, but you nailed it yesterday. You said they're going to try to give them this at birth, and that's exactly what they're even releasing now in MIT News.
Well, remember right now they mandate that hepatitis shot at birth, and you have to literally pitch a fit. I mean pitch a fit. I mean pitch a big fit. I mean, pitch a screaming hissy fit and tell them you're going to sue the whole hospital if they give that child a hepatitis shot. So this is going to be routine. They're going to automatically shoot the child up without your permission unless you pitch a fit and tell them in advance that you're aware of what they're about to do and they can. Now, personally, what I think they're going to do, and see if I'm right on this, they're going to include Gardasil in the shot. And what that's going to do, or they'll include another sterility agent in the shot, especially in these third world countries. Because remember, we're having about 100 million children born in third world countries right now, which don't have the means to even feed themselves. I mean, it's awful what's going on in third world countries. The problem is, in our country, if it wasn't for immigration, we'd have a net population growth now for the past 20, 30 years. But they don't have that in third world countries. That's the 100 million growth every single year. So what they're doing is they're trying to mestizo or completely mix the entire world's population, and that's why they're bringing them into our country to breed. Finland's birth rate is down like the lowest it's ever been in the history of the country right now. I mean, it's awful what's happening in Europe as far as the indigenous population, as far as the birth rates, and also what's happening here in the United States. But this is going to be a sterility vaccine. That's what this is going to be in these third world countries, and they're not going to know about it because remember this, guys. They're not going to know what's going to sterilize these girls because they're not going to start their cycles for another 12, 13, 14 years after they've had the shot if they give it to them as an infant. So they'll be able to do this thing for 10, 15, 20 years and then say, oh, it has nothing to do with the fact that you took this shot as an infant, that you're sterile, has nothing to do with this at all. And remember, again, they don't have to worry about any of the lawsuits because they've got their little vaccine exemption thing going on. So it's a major deal that they're doing right now with this giant push. Let me tell you a story. It just happened today. I spoke with a lady, I'm not going to mention any names, who came over to get my signature on a petition to allow one of her friends to run for city commission here in town. And I told her that'd be fine because I always like to have a good group of politicians that we can vote for. And what was interesting, she was telling me her daughter had a three-year-old child who got all of the vaccines, and at the age of 12 months, they took her off they took the little boy off the breast milk and put him on cow's milk, you know, the processed dairy products. And the child started kept getting his vaccines, and suddenly started having all these health problems. Now, at the age of 3, in and out of the hospital for 3 years, $1 million in medical bills already at the age of 3. $1 million in hospital bills and medical bills by the age of 3. The child is incredibly sick, stays sick all the time. And she said what they would do is they would have to wait until he was actually healthy enough between his bouts of sickness and hospitalizations to give him another vaccine. And so they kept vaccinating because they couldn't give him the vaccinations when he was real, real sick. So they'd wait until he just got a little bit better, and the pediatrician refused to see him if he did not take the vaccinations. Guys, this is not a joke. This is not okay. This is what they're doing to everybody in the United States who doesn't know any better. Yesterday, we talked about the girl from the Texas, from Baylor University, the medical doctor, who said that the white people need to leave the United States because it's the educated white people who are college graduates or who listen to shows like this who say, I don't think I'm going to do vaccinations. We have a good friend of ours, both of us, Austin and I know him. He's a stucco man. His name's David. Great stucco guy. He has a huge stucco company. Just had a baby last year, and I was talking to him last year at Hunter's first birthday party, actually back in the summer, I guess. No, it would have been
April.
And he said, and I asked him, I said, did you vaccinate the child? And he goes, absolutely not. And I haven't talked to him about this. And he said, why not? He goes, well, I saw the movie Vaxxed. And he says, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. No more vaccine, period. And so I told the lady today, I sent her a link to that movie Vaxxed. And I said, if your daughter will just simply watch this movie, and stop immunizing this baby. She goes, well, she doesn't know what to do because you have to have her to go to school. I said, the kid's not going to go to school at 3, and you can get a religious exemption. I said, at least let the child get his health back. Watch the movie, make the decision with informed consent, not because you were told by someone else not to do this. But guys, this is that real. And the problem with this is when you have a child that's this sick, you don't want any more children. When you have a child with autism, you don't want any more children. When you have a child that's in the hospital all the time like this, you don't want any more children. It's the perfect way to stop us from having babies by getting our babies extremely sick, because what it allows them to do is to say, oh, wow, you don't want any more kids, do you? Look how sick this child is. It may be your DNA that's causing this. No, it's not. It's the food. It's the homogenized, pasteurized milk. It's the vaccinations. It's all of this stuff that causes these babies to stay so sick. Now, Austin, you've got Hunter. He's almost, I think he's almost a year and a half now, wouldn't he?
Yes, right at that. It would be, I think he's like 16, 17 months.
Kid's super healthy. I mean, super healthy. You were super healthy. Harrison was super healthy. Alexa was super healthy. Savannah's super healthy. Because we gave their bodies the nutrients their bodies needed. And that's why everybody stays so healthy in our household. And we don't give them neurological poisons. Anyhow, let me change subjects. $700 billion of unpaid mortgage balances right now with Hurricane Harvey and Irma. Now, these are houses that have been destroyed. As the damage from the Hurricane Harvey and Irma is still being tallied, a preliminary assessment released last week by Black Knight Financial Services estimated that as many 300,000 borrowers in the vicinity of Houston could become delinquent on their loans, and 160,000 could become seriously delinquent in more than 90 days past due. Why? Most of these people had no flood insurance, and their homes are gone. So it's like this. Your car gets stolen. You don't have insurance on it. You got to make the payments until it's paid off. We had a friend of ours a few years ago, Austin, got his motorcycle stolen, and he ended up not making the payments, ended up having to file bankruptcy over it because he didn't have any insurance on the motorcycle. The same thing. If your house is destroyed, if it's flattened, if it's flooded, if it's full of mold, and you can't live it anymore, and your insurance won't cover it, and you owe $500,000 on the mortgage, chances are you're going to walk away and say, I'm giving this back to the bank. Guys, this is a major, major problem. We're going to see it all over Florida, all over Texas. $700 billion of unpaid mortgage balances in Hurricane Harvey and Irma right now in the disaster areas. What do you think about that number, Austin?
It's really sad to me. And the issue is that, I mean, when you have stuff like this going in, instead of us turning around and giving $40-50 billion to Israel for foreign aid and plethora of other countries we continue to give money for, this is the time when you say, okay, we really need to try and allow some people to apply for some type of financial help if they're really in this position. Not saying we can do it for everybody, but turning around and actually helping America in a lot of these situations that we've seen now. But that's rough, man. That's really rough. And I mean, you think about it now, maybe that was one of the side goals of having these storms hit like they did. Maybe that was just a secondary effect. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen over the next year, especially with both of these hurricanes hitting back to back, and especially on how significant the damage was to Houston and all the surrounding areas. We're going to see a lot of issues in the housing market, the financial market, the vehicle market, all over the place now, with a lot of people. Same thing with vehicles. You know, a lot of people may have just had comprehensive on it. They may have fallen through with their coverage. They may not have been paying for it. It may have been lapsed. Now the vehicles got flooded. Now they're not worth anything. They're financed. They're not going to pay for them. The thing about with vehicles, though, is you usually have to have insurance to drive on the road. At least most people do. With houses, it's not the same, which is going to be a significant issue for these houses that are completely flooded. Also, too, I mean, just speaking of that, the Deutsche Bank, the report that was done from the Deutsche Bank from Jim Reed, he even went on to say, he said, we're in a period of very elevated global asset prices, probably the most elevated in aggregate through history, and that falls into place with what we just said with the housing. We're seeing the housing bubble is getting much, much bigger than it was in 2006, 2007. Nobody sees it because the stock market's so high, everything's hunky-dory, everybody thinks the economy's exploding with growth again, but as we're seeing, the $85 billion a month that the Federal Reserve pumped into the central reserve banks over the last 3 or 4 years, it was now with quantitative to infinity, is starting to hit the market, and that's exactly what they've done. These guys have gone in and they've bought up all the major Fortune 500 companies that is just
that's
said.
Right.
And
right.
So the housing market's booming again like it was before, and all these houses, it's sad, that are even more elevated artificially than they were. People owe $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 on a house. It's probably only worth about $250,000, and on top of that, now they don't have insurance, now it flooded, now they're out, now they're going to have to file bankruptcy. So I can guarantee you we're going to see a massive spike in bankruptcy across the United States. Also, too, this is pretty wild information. It just came in today. Russian President Vladimir Putin has now instructed the Russian government to approve legislation making the ruble the main currency of exchange at all Russian seaports by the beginning of next year, according to the Kremlin. Yeah, to protect the interest of companies with foreign current obligations, the government was instructed to set a transition period before switching to ruble settlements. According to the head of the Russian antitrust watchdog, FAS, many services in Russian seaports are still priced in U.S. dollars, even though such ports are state-owned. The proposal to switch port tariffs to rubles was first proposed by the president a year and a half ago. He has now said it needs to be implemented by the beginning of next year. So that's another big thing now, guys. The dollar is not going to stay how we think it is. This is why I've told people repeatedly, make sure you have your investment situated right now. Whatever you feel is the best investment for you to be in. I am not a financial planner. I'm not giving you financial advice. But I'm very big proponents of the same thing Stephen Quayle's always said. If you can't touch it, you don't own it. Just because you have a 401k that's propped up, or you have Bitcoin that's artificially inflated because people use computer cycles to build and mine Bitcoins, however that's supposed to work, I've still have yet to figure out that concept, how using electricity and mining a Bitcoin costs $1,000 and that produces something. It's the exact same concept as fiat currency. Nothing's produced. Nothing is made. It's like creating interest on something that can't be paid back. Nothing's there. And that's what you need to be careful of, guys. If you've got a lot of this stuff that you can't touch and that you can't extract right now, you need to make sure you figure out what you're going to do with an exit strategy if that money is wiped out. Because there's a good possibility if we start having a massive devaluation of our currency, nothing is going to stay the same. Actually, there's not even a question about it. It's guaranteed nothing is going to stay the same here. That's why I've always been a huge proponent of physical silver and gold. Primarily silver I'm such a big fan of because it is an industrial metal that is used in literally thousands of applications all over the world. It has a huge industrial demand, and it's massively shorted right now through the paper markets. If the paper markets were not in existence, or they actually had credit, people called notes on them, said, I want to take physical delivery of my 1 million silver ounces and my 5 million silver ounces that I have, and they started taking physical possession of this stuff, it would skyrocket through the roof. Silver should be no less than between $75 to $100 an ounce right now, in my opinion. That's the rate ratio it should be with the current gold ratio. But again, it's not staying at that right now. As you guys see, it's massively pushed down. But just be very, very careful of this, because the dollar is on its way out. I promise you that, because the New World Order cannot keep the U.S. dollar in existence and bring in a new one world global digital currency. Can't do it. It's going to drop it at some point. And all these other countries around the world, especially the BRICS, Venezuela already said it now too, they're not trading in oil anymore in the petrodollar or dollars. Everything's being switched over to different currency. It's on its way out. So be aware of it. Don't live in fear of it. Don't be scared of it. But understand and be prudent and wise of what's going on, and be financially prepared for any type of situation that may arise in the near future, especially involving currency.
I want to add something to that. In the early 20s with the Weimar Republic, that's where we are right now. It's been almost 100 years.
Yeah.
And what happened is the Federal Reserve Bank of Germany was another Rothschild banking cartel bank, and they were given huge war reparations to pay back because of the Versailles Treaty. In fact, that's why the Bank of International Settlements was actually set up, to pay the war reparations back. If you read the Tower of Basel, you can read all about it. But what they did, being the central bank of central banks with the Bank of International Settlements, they ended up in a situation where they started printing money hand over fist to make the war reparations and inflating the currency. And what they did, the German stock market went through the roof because they started taking that money and buying stocks, the same thing they're doing right now. When they got rid of Glass-Steagall and they allowed the central banks from around the world and the banks from around the world to start buying into our U.S. stock market, we allowed them to buy our country as far as our industrial potential and capabilities, lock, stock, and barrel. So now they've taken their fiat money, which they paid nothing for. They printed it out of thin air, and they've bought tangible assets. So at the other side of this, they'll still own GM. They'll still own Ford Motor Company. They'll still own Monsanto. They'll still own all these major corporations,
yep.
And they'll continue to make product with them, but we won't own anything in the United States. This is why there was such an ire against the international banking community in Germany, who were primarily the Jewish bankers, and this is one of the primary reasons that such a huge persecution erupted against the Jewish people, who basically had nothing to do with any of this stuff. It was the bankers, the Rothschild Satan bankers, who were the ones who did all of this. So this is the mess that we find ourselves into. That right now, we've got our Dow Jones at an all-time record high, same as the Weimar Republic did. People are still buying into it, trying to get, you know, deals on it with all of these traders that they're trading and all this huge amounts of cash that they've been doing from the banks. So they printed, like you said, Austin, $85 billion a month into infinity. And so now all that money sloshing around out there being invested into the market, which is why the market's up. Now, they're setting Trump up to be a patsy. I'm letting you guys know that. They're probably going to crash this market right before the midterm elections and basically turn the Congress back around and put it back into a Democratic controlled state. And they're going to crash it. He's been in for about 8-9 months now. If they crash it in a year from now, it'll be right before the midterm elections. And then it'll be like Trump won't be the happy guy anymore in the White House. He'll basically be the one that caused all of this. They're going to blame everything that's happened under Bush, under Obama, and all of this quantitative easing on Donald Trump. That's where this is headed. So it's going to be a major bloodletting for that guy. Now, also remember, he's got three generals right now that are pretty much running his foreign policy in the White House. Now, that's a really dangerous place to be because he's given them the autonomy to make these decisions and not really involve him in the decision-making process. To me, it almost sounds like a military coup that's happened in the White House. He now is being handled by these guys. Now, you guys can do your own research on that. I'm not saying that I know that for a fact, but it sure seems strange to me that if you read about this and what's going on in the White House right now with these generals making these decisions, almost like a tribunal, that's sort of what happens in these third world countries when they end up taking over the country with a military coup d'etat. So, guys, we're in a very, very strange place right now. I was looking at the Daily Mail, and I want to give you guys a little bit of history real quick. And the Daily Mail was doing a whole thing back on the genocide that Stalin, how he starved 4 million people to death in a grotesque Marxist experiment, which many in Russia still deny. 4 million Ukrainians were starved to death by Stalin between 1932 and 1933. Some left-leaning figures, past and present, have sympathized with his regime, but a new book by Ann Applebaum leaves no doubt about his responsibility, killing millions and millions of people, starving them to death. Now, the reason I'm saying this, because the Sabbatean Kabbalists were involved in doing all of this stuff, including the Armenian Genocide. The Armenian Genocide, we've talked about before on the show, also known as the Armenian Holocaust, happened during World War I when this Muslim government basically starved and exterminated 1.5 million Armenians, mostly Ottoman citizens, primarily Christians, with the Ottoman Empire and its successor, the Republic of Turkey. This happened back in April 1915 in that particular area. But one other thing you have to realize, too, just in case you think that we have basically walked away and we weren't involved in any of either, you need to go look up one of Jeff Rentz's articles. He wrote an excellent article on what happened with the Holocaust that Eisenhower did, in which he starved 1.7 million German soldiers who had basically surrendered to death in concentration camps. He refused them water, and he refused them food, and they died. And this is from Rentz.com, and it says, one of them, it says, for you guys, you can read it yourself. If you were taken as a prisoner of war in the American hands, the Americas had 200 such prisoner of war camps scattered across Germany. You're marched to a compound surrounded with barbed wire fences as far as the eye can see. Thousands upon thousands of your fellow German soldiers who have already basically surrendered are put in this makeshift corral. You see no evidence of toilets or anything, any water, anything. And basically Eisenhower refused to give them water or food and slaughtered 1.7 million soldiers who had voluntarily surrendered. Now, guys, so I'm telling you all of this to say this. When you get these Sabbatean Kabbalists involved in any of this stuff, whether it's slaughtering the German soldiers, slaughtering the Armenians, slaughtering the Russians, or doing any of these things with these horrible things that have happened throughout history, it's because they don't have the same moral compass that you and I do. I talked about this a few weeks ago. You say, well, I can't believe they could do stuff like that. Well, no, you can't believe you could do stuff like that because you wouldn't do stuff like that. But these guys aren't you. They don't have the same moral fibers. They're not Christians. They don't answer to a higher power, to our God, to Yahweh or Yeshua. They basically answer to their God, Lucifer, who doesn't care who they kill or what they do or what they sacrifice. So always remember, these guys are playing for blood. The problem with Christians is we don't want to believe these guys are capable of doing what they do. But guys, this is very, very real. Now, look what they want to do with these young children, these newborn children. They're coming out of the womb, and the first thing they're going to do is get a needle stuck in them with who knows how many different types of vaccines and who knows what that's going to do to these children. Guys, this entire thing in the United States is coming to a head, so to speak, and that we're finally getting to the point of realizing that they really, really don't want us around. They don't care if they kill millions here or millions there, millions here, everywhere. All they want to do is be in power and be in control and serve their master. And guys, I needed to share that with you guys today because I want to talk about what happened in all these different types of Holocaust around the country. So I want you guys to know that the United States has also been involved in stuff like this under Eisenhower. And you go to Rents.com and you can read the article, Eisenhower's Holocaust, his slaughter of 1.7 million Germans. So that's an interesting article to read, and it'll really wake you up and get your attention. What do you think about that, Austin?
That is intense, man. That's very intense. But it just shows you how distorted history is by pretty much the media and the people that want to teach it. We've seen that ever since the Civil War, even before that, though. I mean, what they write in history is what they want everybody to believe in history. That's why it's always important to read opposing viewpoints. Sometimes you agree with them, sometimes you don't. Sometimes they're accurate, sometimes they're not. But you always have to get both sides to every story. You can't just sit there and believe 100% of one side and push out 100% of another side and say, nope, this is what they taught me in middle school. This is the truth. Nothing else can be anything different from this. This is what I have to believe. So that's some pretty valid stuff there. This is actually almost a funny article, but it's not really a funny article, but I laughed incessantly. I had one of our friends email it to me today. A Facebook post that went viral over the weekend singled out basically decorative cotton stems at Hobby Lobby, saying that black people should take offense now to cotton decorations. The Facebook post said, this is wrong on so many levels, as it showed a couple stems of fake cotton that were decorative cotton. It said, this decor is so wrong on so many levels. There is nothing decorative about raw cotton. It's a commodity which was gained at the expense of African American slaves. A little sensitivity goes a long ways. Please remove this decor immediately. Hobby Lobby. And the sad part was this article, this post ended up getting 15,000 shares and over 70,000 likes. My entire question of this is, if people really this inept that they think cotton was never around, it never came out of the ground until the 1800s when we had slaves in the United States, are people this brain dead now that fake decorative cotton sitting at Hobby Lobby is offensive to them because they think slaves in the United States were the only people that ever picked cotton in the history of the world? And it's so bizarre to me. And I mean, what's so, and this is the irony. I was bringing this, I thought about this a second ago. This is the irony of this. You know whoever posted this on their Facebook page did it on more than likely one of their new iPhones. It's probably $500, $600, $700. And this just goes to the hypocrisy. Apple workers make $2.50 an hour before taxes, before any type of fees, before housing, before food. Apple workers in China make $400 a month. That's what they make in there. So bad that they've had to put suicide nets outside of the Apple factories over there that this person posted this on to basically oppose slavery of cotton. And that is the thing you have to think of. When somebody's working in China for $2.50 an hour, that's before taxes, that's before their rent, that's before their fuel, that's before their transport, that's before going out to eat, that's before traveling expenses, that's everything. That's $400 a month. When the United States had slaves, which I'm not advocating whatsoever, they were usually always housed, they were always fed, and they, some of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, were still taken care of, but they were not paid for their work. So sitting there trying to make offense to this and say decorative cotton in the United States is offensive is one of the most ignorant statements you can possibly make, especially the fact that the new Generation X, the Generation 10 iPhone, would take 2.5 months for somebody working in the factory that's making your iPhone to be able to afford it. Yes, they would have to work 2.5 months before taxes to be able to afford your iPhone that you're going to go buy at the drop of a hat so you can have the coolest phone in the world and post your stupid, moronic, racist rants on Facebook to try to make people feel bad about having decorative cotton. That shows you the hypocrisy that we've reached now, Dad, with this entire racist issue in the United States. It's really quite obnoxious to me now how far this is being taken.
Well, the ridiculous part about it is Eli Whitney developed the cotton gin, and slavery was on the way out. And then, and, you know, and of course, these merchants out of London and England. In fact, I've got a whole list of those guys. I need to go ahead and read you who these guys were. They were involved in the international banking cartels again, who were the primary slave traders. I mean, it all goes back to the Rothschilds and all the people before them. I mean, it's just crazy. By the way, violent protests have erupted at Georgia Tech a day after a cop shot and killed an LGBT pride leader. Demonstrators torch a cop car as college puts campus on lockdown amid the chaos. A vigil for the 21-year-old Scout Schultz turned violent when protesters set police car on fire. Police told students to stay inside as 50 protesters marched towards the Georgia Tech Police Department. One officer reportedly in the hospital and three demonstrators were in jail. Schultz was shot dead on Saturday by campus police after they believed the non-binary student, whatever that means, was threatening them with a small knife. Investigators reveal Schultz made a phone call to the police as they left three suicide notes in the rooms. None of the police officers involved been identified. The incident is still under investigation. Okay, now let me stop here. These transgenders have a 40% suicide rate. 40%. Now, whether or not I accept them or not doesn't change any of that for who they are, who they want to be. This cop, a lot of these guys, and you can talk to your police officers, guys, if you're listening, we're friends. A lot of people don't want to kill themselves because this guy had attempted to kill himself several years earlier, but they want to be suicided by a cop or by a police officer because they don't want to try to kill themselves again or be resurrected from drugs or whatever after they try to kill themselves. So they'll pull a gun out or they'll pull a knife out with no intentions on using it. Many times the gun's not even loaded because they know the police have to open fire. This is exactly what happened. He called this 911 call in. He said there was a guy matching himself running around with a gun and with a knife threatening people. The cops showed up. He had no gun on him. The cops did not know that. He had a little small pocket knife, and he was basically shaking it at him and walking towards them, and the cop dropped him and killed him. Now, stop here. That's not cool. The cops should have tasered him. Okay, he's obviously a transgender. He's obviously got some issues. He's obviously got some problems. He's obviously not presenting any type of true, how should I say this, danger to this police officer. And I'm sure this cop was carrying a taser, or he could have shot him in the knee or shot him in the thigh. He could have done it. He did not have to either shoot him in the head or shoot him in the chest. He didn't have to do that. Or he could have just discharged a round or shot him in the foot. You don't have to kill people like this. These people need help. They're mentally ill. They're mentally ill. They need help. And it saddens me that this guy got shot. And it saddens me even more here at Georgia Tech. They're having these massive riots because of this. And it was unnecessary. And that police officer needs to receive better training and shouldn't be. And I guarantee you the cop probably feels absolutely horrible that he had to do this. But he didn't have to do it, guys. He didn't have to do it. I mean, I've never seen a transgender yet that intimidated me physically, Austin. So, guys, the whole thing about this is, it's a sad, sad story, but I wanted to report on it because I feel bad for this kid, for his family, and for Georgia Tech, and for these other students who are his friends. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad when anybody gets killed. I mean, the issue, and it's both-sided with it, because, I mean, the issue you run into, especially with law enforcement, is that you're already on a call, which is a top priority call, that somebody is in a public area wielding a gun and a knife. So you automatically are assuming that you're pretty much going to get in a firefight as soon as you arrive on scene. That's pretty much fact. You got to understand that. When you're on the call, you're driving there, you're expecting to get in a firefight. You just got told that there's basically a wild man running around with a pistol and a knife. You are essentially going to have to engage him with deadly force as soon as you arrive on site. Now, when he didn't see a gun, he probably should have backed off a little bit and tried to assess the situation. But again, you don't know in a situation like that if he's the only person around. That could have been somebody else waiting to ambush him with the firearm. So you're in a very precarious situation where you don't really want to use lethal force, because it just, nothing good really ever comes of killing somebody. It really doesn't. Even if you were completely justified, you have to live with that mentally the rest of your life. But on the other hand too, is it worth being in a situation where you're about to get knifed, or while you're getting knifed, he pulls out a pistol from the backside of his pants and he shoots you? And so you're in that situation. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see a video. If a video, then we could have a little bit better understanding of it. But yes, the fact that he only did have a knife visible, he probably should have tried to use his taser. The cop was more than likely, though, probably very, very paranoid in that situation of the guy because of the phone call that he already made. And as you said, Dad, he probably wanted to be suicided by a cop, because that way he knew he could not be essentially revived. I mean, you take two or three gunshot wounds to the chest, you're more than likely not even going to make it to the ambulance. And so he knew that. And the issue, as you just said, this whole group of individuals has an extremely high suicide rate. And on top of that, now we have a depression society, as far as we almost promote depression. Like, oh, you have depression? Oh, that's fine. It's absolutely fine. We'll give you antidepressants, to the point now that experts have warned that Google's new depression screening tool that's now popping up on ads all the time is leading to overdiagnosis, overprescribing, and misuse of data, as reported by the Daily Mail. A query now, and also things that, as you know, Google monitors everything you do. So if you Google something and say, am I depressed? They immediately pop stuff up on there. But not just that, if you X out of it later on, they put other ads up. You see that with all types of different sales things, with Amazon, everything now. You always got to turn all that stuff turned off and don't even use Google in general. But anyways, now the am I depressed queries and the basically that are coming up on mobile phones and computers have a self-assessment quiz that are called the Patient Health Questionnaire, the PHQ-9, which is used by doctors to assess the severity of depression and response to treatment. The problem is now the internet giant's development of the screening tool together was released in August, and it was developed to technically offer help to those who are suffering from mental health issues. However, Simon Gilby, a professor of psychological medicine at the University of York, claimed that the quiz is being used to over-treatment of depression in the middle of the United States opiate epidemic. He warned that this tool's development, get this, was funded and built by major drug company Pfizer, which profits from the sale of antidepressants. He also warned that the test has a high likelihood of giving inaccurate results. Gilbert also claimed in the BMJ that many of the answers the test would identify as warning signs were actually just transient distress, which would remit itself without treatment, and that the test could misidentify other disorders or mental health issues as depression. David Gilbert, director of InHealth Associates, even mirrored the same concerns and said, Google is driving people quicker down the path to Big Pharma. Remember, Pfizer funded the development of this tool. Historically, the boundaries between pharmaceutical advertising and patient information are also blurred by the presence of online disease awareness campaigns sponsored by the pharmaceutical industry. And what he's saying here, guys, is the pharmaceutical industry is in turn marketing their products and pushing people inadvertently on purpose, but subconsciously through these psychological tools known as depression questionnaires to get people to fill this stuff out. And you got to think about it. Subconsciously, you fill out one of these tools. You go, oh, man, I'm not feeling good today. I'm kind of down. I don't know what to do. Oh, are you depressed? Well, let me fill out this questionnaire. That's kind of curious. I have nothing else to do. You fill it out. All of a sudden, it goes, you're rated 9 out of 10. You're significantly depressed. You need to go to the doctor immediately and seek treatment. You go, oh my gosh, I'm depressed. I should go to the doctor right now and get drugs. I don't know what else to do. I don't want to kill myself. That's what they're doing subconsciously with these psychological tools they're doing with these assessments. And they're even getting called out now because Pfizer developed the main assessment tool that they're using that's being pushed on Google all the time. So back to what Dad was just saying, You already have a group of individuals that are having significant issues with depression because their entire lifestyle choices they're involved in. Now we literally have an entire generation of depression kids because everybody thinks they're depressed. And as he said there with the opiate epidemic, where you have people that are trying to come off opiates, which can be very depressing to come off of because withdrawal symptoms. And now you're coming off opiates, which may only take 3, 4, 5 days to really withdraw from them. Now you think you're depressed in general and you need to go on some type of antidepressant like Zoloft or Prozac because you're having opiate withdrawals. Not cool, guys. Not something we need to be doing. We do not need to be promoting this at all. We're turning into basically a pharmaceutical country where everybody's on some type of pill for some reason, and most of them aren't even legitimate reasons, Dad. But it's sad when people get killed like that. But again, this depression issue and that we're starting to see now be promoted heavily for the pharmaceutical industry is getting out of hand as well.
Well, it's the media. The media is owned by the pharmaceutical companies, which are owned by the banks, and these are the guys that are pushing all these pills. They're the ones that pushed all the OxyContin and everything else. These are those guys. And the problem with Google is, especially if you don't disable your cookies, and this is very important to everybody, listen to me, you got to disable your cookies. They're called tracking cookies for a reason. If you push up something about depression on your website and you fill out a questionnaire, they're going to be sending you all kinds of little pop-ups on depression forever. I mean, a few months ago, I bought some Birkenstock shoes, and I didn't have my cookies turned off. And for a month after that, I got pop-ups on Birkenstock shoes. I mean, this is what they do. They track you. They know your IP address. They know who you are. They can link you back to your email address. They know your name. They know your home. They know your place of work. They know where you live. They can basically send the pharmaceutical police to you if this gets any worse, and they can say, we're checking up on you. You filled out a depression questionnaire online, so we just need to do an evaluation with you right now if you're safe to be here by yourself. And by the way, do you own any firearms?
Yep, there you go.
Do you own any firearms? Well, what do you mean? It's none of your business. Well, we have to make it our business because we need to come in and check your house out and make sure you don't do something crazy like kill yourself or kill your family. So we have to come take your weapons away from you. You go, well, they would never do that. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, I mentioned this earlier. Now I pulled it up again. It's called, and this is by Tyler Durden from Zero Hedge, and it said, American slow motion military cool. In a democracy, we should not be comforted to hear that generals have imposed discipline on an elected head of state. That would be Donald Trump. That was never supposed to be happening in the United States. Now it has. Among the most enduring political images of the 20th century was the military junta. It was a group of grim-faced officers, usually three, who rose in control of state. It happened in Chile, Argentina, Turkey, and Greece. These days, the junta system is making a comeback in all places in Washington. Power to shape Americans' foreign policy and security policy has been given and fallen into the hands of three military men, General James Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, General John Kelly, President Trump's Chief of Staff, and General H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor. They do not put on the ribbons to review military parades or dispatch death squads to kill opponents, as members of old-style junta did, yet their emergence reflects a new stage in the erosion of our political norms and the militarization of our foreign policy, and another veil is dropping. You guys can go back and you can read this, because it really is scary. I've heard several authors now say that John Kelly, General John Kelly, Kelly Trump's chief of staff, completely filters all information that Donald Trump gets to make his decisions about everything. Guys, this is not good, because remember, we talked about this months ago, how we, the people of the United States, we've given our rights away to our elected officials, our Congress and our Senate. They've turned around and given their rights away, because they've been blackmailed, to the military-industrial complex, who basically then have turned away and given their rights away to the Sabbatean Kabbalists and these Luciferians. That's the breakdown of the chain. So then these military guys get involved, because remember, these are the guys that are working with the CIA to maintain the entire drug transport system out of Afghanistan. It's really important that you guys get this, who's running the country right now. And quite frankly, it's almost as if Trump's being controlled now by this military tribunal. And I tell you what, this is probably one of the most frightening things I've seen in a long, long time. And I told you guys several months ago, when he gave away the military rights to determine the military decisions in Afghanistan and other countries around the world to these generals, that this was going to go sideways. And guys, it's going sideways really, really fast, because if this breaks down and our country goes into martial law, it'll be very easy for these guys to usurp power from Trump, form a military tribunal, and basically do some type of junta or takeover of the United States as far as from a military standpoint. Because remember, Obama purged all the loyalists who were real military guys at the very high levels who wouldn't fire on American citizens. They've already been purged out of the military under Obama. Thousands of them. Yep. Of colonels and majors and generals. Gone. We saw that all happen after Benghazi, because there was almost a military coup of the good guys against Obama after Benghazi, and he had to purge the military, and that's what he's done. Now we've got this group in here that's probably linked to the CIA that's running everything, making sure that we all march to the proper beat. Guys, this is a frightening thing that's happening right now with the United States, with all these generals up there in the White House, and I tell you what, guys, I don't like it at all. What do you think, Austin?
No, it's definitely bad. We called this out months ago. And like I said, you know, Mathis is a well-decorated Marine, but the problem is now all these guys have been given way too much power. They've essentially been given a blank check. And I even said that a couple weeks ago when Trump essentially, about 2 months ago now, when Trump essentially gave Mathis the blank check to send as many more troops as he wanted to Afghanistan. And we saw he almost sent another 4,000 troops now on top of the other, 11,000 that were already there. And so now we're looking at like 14, 15,000 troops still stationed in Afghanistan doing nothing on the books as far as what we know of. Of course, it's there to fight ISIS and everything else. That's what they say. And we know the truth about it as far as with the opiate production and the poppy fields over there. That's the only reason they're there. There's no other reason to have that level of military presence in another country right now. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to take complete control. And we see this with the military industrial complex. Beware the military industrial complex. It's been said before. We've said it again and again. This is exactly what's going on now. Now we have all the just saber rattling, again beating the war drums. We have to attack Iran. We have to attack North Korea. We have to attack Russia. We have to cut off and do sanctions with China. We have to do more sanctions on Venezuela. They're doing all these things to provoke and instigate more fighting in other countries in order to get somebody to bite, so we'll have another excuse to do another invasion on another country, and we can massively spool up the military-industrial complex again with more MRAPs, more drones, more tanks, more munitions, all that stuff, as we've done over and over and over again, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. Also, other news as far as the LA Times, this is almost a comical article they just put out now. The LA Times now just put out an article complaining that deporting illegals from the United States is now overloading the Mexican government. They said recently deported illegals now are overloading the school systems and the infrastructure in Mexico. The LA Times is reporting after ignoring the fact that illegals were doing that in the United States for years. They said additionally, the LA Times is complaining that the struggle to integrate in Mexico is very difficult because many of them do not speak Spanish. Oh, imagine that. Imagine what we've dealt with the United States. They said Mexico, on the other hand, where they didn't say this. This is another comment. Mexico, on the other hand, where illegal immigration is a felony punishable with years in prison, has always protected its borders much better than the U.S., who essentially welcomes immigrants. And so this is what's going on now. It's not funny when it's the reverse. And what's happened is we've had this massive influx in the United States in illegals here, and families that were illegal that are having children now and getting citizenship because of the welfare system. And I don't believe in evolution or anything like that, but one thing I do believe in significantly, and you can watch that in any aspect of life, is natural selection, survival of the fittest. When you start taking individuals that are in a country that actually have to work very, very hard to make any amount of money like they do in Mexico. They don't get paid very well in Mexico. And you bring them to a country where they can literally come here, get free everything, housing, food, tuition, healthcare, everything for doing nothing. They have no incentive to not have more kids. Actually, we've incentivized it now by giving them thousands and thousands of dollars more for every child they have. And on top of that, we give them tax breaks and tax incentives and actually give them money back from IRS that they never paid in on more kids that they have. Natural selection stops this. If people can't provide for their families, if people can't feed their families, if people can't physically work and take care of the 2 and 3 kids they already have, they don't have any more kids. They don't continue to have 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 kids in some cases, so they can mooch off the government even further. This is what Mexico's finding out now. All these deported people and all these deported families that have produced nothing in the United States now are coming back into Mexico and doing the same thing they've done in the United States, and the infrastructure in the school systems cannot handle it, and now they're saying that they don't speak Spanish, so they can't integrate there. I'm completely confident these illegals that have been deported back to Mexico will pick up on Spanish just fine, Dad. I'm really not that concerned about it at all.
Well, you know, it's sad because they should have never allowed to come to this country to start with. It's sad that these children have been uprooted and sent back down there, because you're right, Austin, it's going to be a massive culture shock, especially if they came here as infants and they get sent back as teenagers, and suddenly they're in a situation where they don't speak the language and they're having to work, you know, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 hours a day like a lot of us do anyhow. And they're not used to it. And it's not fair to those kids to start with, and it's certainly going to be rough on them going back over there, and I feel bad for them. By the way, New York John Jay professor sidelined for tweeting about dead cops. You need to get a look at this guy. You talk about a weirdo. He's got like a neck like a giraffe, got hair like a Muppet. And it says Michael Isaacson is an economics professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York, has been put on administrative leave after tweeting, some of y'all might think it sucks being an anti-fascist teaching at John Jay College, but I think it's a privilege to teach future dead cops. I mean,
wow.
Where do they find people like this that say stuff like that? He's tweeting this stuff, so he's been put on administrative leave. What a weirdo nutbag. And the sad part about this is, and I'm going to say it real slow-like so all of these people that are these weirdos like him that are listening can understand it, these people really do exist. They really do breathe air, and they really do vote, and they really do teach our children in the universities all of this weird doctrine that they basically collected over the years and they actually believe in with these Saul Alinsky guys. So this is interesting to me that this guy actually wasn't terminated on the spot, and he continues to probably draw a salary from this school also. What do you think about this?
It is. It's ridiculous. If a lot of these big schools, even the liberal schools, if they started putting a squash on this as far as you lose tenure, you lose your job when you start talking about basically killing people, which is what he's doing. I'm teaching dead cops. He's bragging that these guys are going to get shot, bragging that it's cool to kill cops, insinuating that violence against anyone is good. You know, maybe not formally, you know, revoking their teaching position there, but at least reprimanding them. The problem is they don't even get reprimanded. They're a college professor. They have the right to say that. And the issue that we found now is these guys have so much leniency to say whatever they want, whenever they want. This is one of the reasons why this generation under us is literally a pool of blithering idiots who don't even know how to work for a living, because they've been brought into this educational system that's so ignorant now and produces so much hate that they don't even know how to function a civilized society. But one last article I want to talk about today. In August, 30 Mississippi children were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, reporting that was double the number diagnosed in a single month just 1 year ago. They said the Diabetes Foundation of Mississippi is called when a child is diagnosed to help guide families and provide services. And they've seen the number of type 1 diabetes exploding astronomically. Even the New England Medical Journal published a study in April that revealed type 1 diagnosis has risen each year by 2% of a minimum since 2002, and it's climbing even higher now. Type 1 diabetes is a chronic condition in which the pancreas produces little to no insulin. And this is an issue because a lot of times type 1 can be caused by, there doesn't matter if the diet, intake, sugar, anything, children can still get it. Dad, what do you think briefly is causing such a rise in type 1 diabetes right now all across the board, especially if some of these kids don't even have poor diets?
I think it's primarily the pasteurized, homogenized dairy products loaded with bovine growth hormone. That's number one. Number two would be the GMO foods. Number three would be the high amount of fructose corn syrup that they're ingesting with all the sodas, et cetera. Because remember, obesity's gone off the charts for little kids. I mean, I'm talking like 1 and 2 and 3 year old toddlers. The other day I was driving through the Walmart parking lot, which I try to avoid, like the plague, and I couldn't believe all these little 1 and 2 and 3 year old obese children walking in with their parents. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And see, that's what happens with these young kids when they start being given these GMO foods, high fructose corn syrup, given huge amounts of pasteurized dairy products. It massively increases the risks of diabetes in these children. Same thing with adult onset, with adult onset diabetes, type 2 diabetes. You've got to get rid of the high fructose corn syrup. You've got to start using our insulin support that we have at the office for our healthy blood sugar protocol like Doug Hagman did. And what ends up happening is you get to, your body's able to use the sugar that you have in your system and you're able to use it into the cell, and you don't have the elevated blood sugar and you feel a lot better instead of taking things like metformin, which we know cause pancreatic cancer. So good article, Austin, but Wes, we need to be very careful with children because it was linked many, many years ago to high-fat dairy products, the homogenized, pasteurized products. So if you're going to give a child any kind of milk, even after, you shouldn't have, before the age of 1, they should be breastfed. After that, use the raw certified goat's milk. You can give them a little bit of the grass-fed, like yogurt, cow's milk, if you want, after the age of 1. But don't be given large drinks of, you know, large amounts of cow's milk to drink. It's very, very mucus-forming and cause all types of health problems. By the way, another study has just, again, proven what we've been telling you guys for years, that inflammation causes heart disease, not cholesterol. Gosh, I've been saying this for 25 years, Austin, and finally, the studies are coming out now by all these mainstream journals that's saying that I was right when I was telling people this back in the 80s. So guys, listen to me. It's not about the cholesterol. Your body has to have cholesterol in order to produce testosterone and hormones. What it's about is the inflammatory markers, again, caused by things like high fructose corn syrup and elevated insulin. The insulin will massively cause inflammation in the arteries because it's salt, and it will cause the body to start putting all kinds of plaque down to make the blood flow more efficiently over these arteries that have this, that are basically being dried out by the salt. And when it does that, it causes a massive increase in heart disease. Guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us and your supplements from us. It means so much to us when you support us because it makes us realize that a workman is worth his wages, and it keeps the show on the air. Austin, I'll do the write-up. God bless you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, guys. Yes, and thank you for all the support and all the emails you continue to send us and the phone calls for giving us the privilege to be able to help you guys out and direct you guys in the right direction as far as with supplements and nutrition and diet. So if you guys need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out the product of the week. It's on sale for the last day, the Magnesium Dead Sea Oil at healthmasters.com. If you have any questions, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.